Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:01 a.m. on Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crashus. Also present with me are Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. I will limit my opening comments to just wishing the Bison football team, NDSU football team, the best of luck on Saturday with their game in Frisco. And as you might know, I'm attended NDSU, so I'm a big fan, as well as the politically correct thing, of course, for all North Dakota schools. But in this case, this weekend, it's the Bison, so I hope they have a good trip, and I hope they have a successful weekend. Commissioner Fedorchek?
Political correctness has no place in college
sports.
Well, I do like the UND hockey teams. So
whatever.
I do.
Okay, so Happy New Year, everybody. I just want to mention one thing. JF1 is withdrawn from the regular agenda. Hopefully we'll have that up on our next meeting. And then as a brief update, we last week had a meeting on the aircraft detection lighting systems and the deadline that the companies had of December 31st to a number of them to have them installed. And we did have received one update from the Oliver Wind project that states that system as of January 3rd was operational. So I guess we'll see how that plays out. I drove by that site on the 5th and the lights were on full. So I don't know if that means that there was an aircraft in the area when I happened to be looking at it or what. So there'll be some still lessons to be learned in how this stuff operates, but that's the latest status report from the companies. I don't believe we've received any others. At least I haven't in my inbox yet. So that's the status of that.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Christman?
Well, now I'm not 100% sure, but I thought that Brady 1 and 2 were also operational.
Maybe. I didn't see those letters. Did you receive those letters?
I believe so.
Okay. I don't have copies of them yet, but that would make sense because they're all kind of on the same time frame.
Yeah. So I believe those two are go-to. On the college sports things, though, how about UND's hockey team? I mean, they have set a new record since the Ralph was built, which must be roughly about two decades, for the most home wins in a row, off to a phenomenal start. But it's hard to compare to six going on seven national championships in the last 8 years. So,
and you're just being influenced by the wise person you married.
That's very true. And to wrap up.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
Happy anniversary to my wife, Bethany.
Oh, you married well.
Married up.
Yeah.
I was at that wedding. It was really cold that day, too. Wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
That night? I remember leaving your dance and freezing my butt off. And
no.
What?
Apparently you left pretty late because it was 40-some degrees that day and barely froze that night.
Oh.
But you probably left pretty late.
It was really crowded. I remember that. It was packed.
All right.
Let's move on.
I was married at the time myself, Randy, so.
Order.
I don't think it was that late.
Well, congratulations. 20 years, correct?
Yep.
Fantastic. All right. We have seven items on consent in the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. My first item on the regular agenda, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission Bluestone Construction Incorporated damage prevention enforcement case number PU-19-326.
Second.
On September 26, 2019, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from North Prairie Water District alleging a violation by Bluestone Construction of North Dakota Century Code Section 49-23-04. On September 26th, commission advocacy staff also sent a letter to Bluestone enclosing the North Dakota one-call complaint, and on October 4th, 2019, Bluestone sent a response back to the commission about the one-call complaint, and then on December 5th, 2019, a consent agreement between Bluestone and staff was filed for resolution of the complaint. Bluestone is a North Dakota company operating out of Sawyer, North Dakota, and the violation, the alleged violation, was that Bluestone failed to contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice at least 48 hours before beginning excavation. And on September 25th, Bluestone personnel did begin excavating without a North Dakota one-call ticket. There was no damage as a result of that action. However, they still did not obtain a ticket. And North Dakota law states that accepted an emergency, an excavator shall contact the notification center and provide an excavation or no or location notice before beginning any excavation. Staff did conclude that Bluestone violated the one-call law and then engaged in good faith settlement discussions with Bluestone. And as a result, Bluestone agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $1,000 with $500 suspended on the condition that they commit no further violations of the North Dakota law within 5 years after the date of this order, and that Bluestone will make a check or a $500 payment to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 days of an order accepting or approving the consent agreement. So this is pretty straightforward. They, despite the fact that there wasn't damage, they did not have a ticket. And in their response, the response from Bluestone Construction, just to sum it up, they took full responsibility. They acknowledged the error. And they also indicated that they have taken steps to prevent this in the future. So I thought the response and how they handled it after it occurred was spot on, and I'm confident based on how they approached it that they do in fact have the right steps in place. So again, hopefully we won't see this happening again in the future. So they were very cooperative, and again, the fact that they took full responsibility, I do appreciate that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and that completes my portfolio. Commissioner
Chrisman.
I move the commission approve the parent guarantee filed on October 17th, 2019 for the Ashtabula Wind 2 LLC facility in Ashtabula Wind 2 LLC, 120 megawatt wind energy center, Valley City, North Dakota, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-104.
Second.
Ashtabula 2 consists of 80 turbines with a nameplate capacity of 120 megawatts. On June 27th of 2019, the commission approved the revised decommissioning plan and cost estimate for Ashtabula 2. The total decommissioning amount approved was $10 million, or an average of $125,000 per turbine, but that amount does include roads and other facilities. On October 17th, Ashtabula 2 filed a parent guarantee in the amount of $10 million with NextEra Energy Capital Holdings Incorporated as the guarantor. And I just want to point this out on this one particular because it will, I'll get to discussing it again in the next motion. But among other requirements to do that parent guarantee, which then saves them the cost of acquiring bonding, the the guarantor has certain requirements, among them an A-minus or higher rating with one of the major bond rating agencies. So NextEra maintains an A-minus credit rating with Fitch Ratings and meets the commission's other requirements for a parent guarantee to ensure the decommissioning of the facility. So in this case, staff has reviewed the parent guarantee and recommends the commission approve it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
RC2, I move the commission approve the surety bond as financial assurance filed December 16th, 2019 in Rugby Wind LLC, Wind Energy Center, Pierce County, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-13-844.
Second.
The Rugby Wind consists of 71 turbines with a nameplate capacity of 149.1 megawatts. On December 3rd, this commission approved the decommissioning plan and cost estimate with some revisions for Rugby Wind. The total decommissioning amount approved, excluding salvage value, of course, as we do in all of them, was $10.454 million, or an average of approximately $147,000 per turbine. Then on December 16th, Rugby Wind filed the surety bond in the amount of $10.454 million to ensure the decommissioning of the facility. The term of the bond is 5 years, and it was issued by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. A representative of Avangrid, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, that's the owner of Rugby Wind, stated that after this bond expires, they would not object to changing the term of the bond to a longer duration. Staff has reviewed the surety bond, and it fulfills the commission's financial assurance requirements. I want to point this out, and I kind of brought it up in the last one. Up till now, all of the financial assurance approvals that we've done have been parent guarantees by companies like NextEra, as was in RC1. This is our first wind farm case. We have them on coal mine financial assurances. This is the first wind farm case that has not chosen to or not been able to go that route and has instead acquired the bonding. So just wanted to point out because it's the first one in that regard. And by the way, with Liberty Mutual, we did not get to see the emu that you see so often on TV. Never showed up here.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I was just curious about the five-year bond. Was there any reasons why they picked a five-year bond? And obviously that's not going to ultimately be long enough. So what's the plan for the post 5 years? Is that an issue at all?
It's probably not as I'd have imagined it working right from the beginning, but and I'm going to look to Adam to correct me if I misstate something. My understanding of the situation is this: you know, just shortly after we approved the amount, they went out and acquired this bond, and because they have to redo the cost estimate every 5 years. Oh. It could change.
Okay.
And so I think they had an assumption they were supposed to get a five-year bond. And that's why I pointed out that they said in the future they would be comfortable with going longer. But at this point, there's costs and hassles associated with changing it. And so I guess the idea here is to approve this one. And then next time, if it changes, they'll need to redo it anyway. And if not, well, they'll have to redo it anyway regardless now because it's only a five-year
sure.
bond.
But. Okay, thank you, Randy.
Is there any further discussion?
That was essentially the same question I was going to ask, so nothing else from me.
Sensing none, we have all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
RC3. I move the commission adopt an order in case number RC-19-282, notice of violation number 1901 issued to Dakota Westmoreland Corporation at the Beulah Mine to affirm the violation, assess a civil penalty, and close the case upon payment of the penalty.
Second.
So this notice of violation was issued to Dakota Westmoreland following a July 9th of 2019 inspection, during which an uncontrolled surface water discharge was observed flowing from what we know as their Pond 85. Pond 85 was originally designed as a clean water pond. It was not designed to function as a sediment pond. The difference being, this was on an area that was not in the area that's being disturbed in mining, and they built this pond to basically hold some water so they had fresh water for watering roads and things of that nature. Then as their mine plan changed and they got to mining that, and the water that going into it was going to be flowing over disturbed areas with more sediment, they needed a bigger and better pond to act as a sediment pond and meet our requirements. So once the mining was planned within that watershed, they designed and constructed what we termed as Pond 85 Sump, which was that addition to it directly upstream of Pond 85. The two structures together provided adequate capacity to contain a 10-year, 24-hour event from the upstream watershed. That is our requirement within the mine permit. Dakota Westmoreland, though, then failed to maintain Pond 85 Sump during their subsequent mining and reclamation activities. Pond 85 was inspected, as I said, on July 9th after the area had received approximately 2.5 inches of rain during the preceding 20 hours. The water level was at spill elevation, and an uncontrolled discharge was occurring at a rate of about 25 gallons per minute. Debris around the pond's discharge point indicated that higher flows had recently occurred. A discharge sample was taken for laboratory analysis, and that analysis indicated a total suspended soils level of 225 milligrams per liter, which exceeds the maximum level of 70 milligrams per liter, which is what would have been allowable. This NOV was 1901 was issued on July 18th then, so just over a week later. The remedial action required Dakota Westmoreland install approved water management features by August 1st. They requested additional time and ultimately constructed a new sump and the other diversions that they ended up doing. NOV 1901 was terminated November 20th. After staff deemed that the remedial actions were adequate. So we need to assess a civil penalty and adopt an order in this manner. Dakota Westmoreland did not request an informal conference or a formal hearing. The commission considers four factors in determining the amount of any civil penalty. And we've talked about these before, but we don't have a lot of violations, thank goodness. So I'll go through our four factors again. One is the history of previous violations. The second is the seriousness. The third is whether there's negligence involved. And the fourth is good faith in attempting to achieve compliance. And I'll go through each of those four one by one here and for this case. The first factor, the commission may assess a civil penalty of up to $3,500 per day based on the history of previous violations by the operator or permittee. Generally, the history of violations within the preceding 3 years is considered, and a penalty for history has not been recommended if three or fewer violations have occurred in that period. Dakota Westmoreland has received two other violations within the preceding 3 years. So based on the criteria we've used in the past, Dakota Westmoreland does not have a history of violations that requires that a penalty be assessed in this case. The second of those factors is that the commission may assess a civil penalty of up to $3,500 per day based on the seriousness of the violation. And factors to be considered in seriousness are the extent and duration of actual or potential damage in terms of impact to the public or the environment. This violation did cause some environmental damage because turbid water was discharged and flowed off permit into Brush Creek. So a penalty based on seriousness is warranted, and the recommended penalty here for seriousness is $500. The third factor is negligence, and we can assess a civil penalty of up to $3,000 per day based on the degree of fault of the permittee. And in that $3,000, however, I want to point out a violation that's caused by negligence but not through recklessness or knowing or willful conduct, may be assessed a penalty of only $1,500 per day. So if it's reckless, $1,500, but if it's knowing or willful misconduct, then it could be up to $3,000. Mining companies are required to conduct and maintain sediment ponds to handle runoff from a 10-year, 24-hour rainfall event. They know that. So a penalty based on negligence due to lack of diligence is warranted in this case. And the recommended penalty regarding negligence in this case is $1,000. And the fourth and final factor is that we can deduct up to $1,000 per day from the total civil penalty when a permittee takes extraordinary measures to abate the violation in the shortest time following notification of the violation. But no deduction can be made for normal compliance, which is abatement of the violation within the set time. A good faith deduction, I think, is not warranted in this case. As I mentioned, we originally told them they needed to have it fixed in just a few weeks, and it ended up taking throughout most of the fall. So I think no deduction for good faith is warranted in this case. So in summary, the proposed order affirms NOV 1901 and assesses a civil penalty in the amount of $1,500. Again, that's $500 for seriousness and $1,000 for negligence. And the order also closes this case upon payment of the penalty.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Christman. In terms of announcements, we have an informal hearing today. It's for MDU Renewable Resource Cost Recovery, case number PU-19-355. And then our next regular commission meeting will take place on Wednesday, January 22nd at 10 a.m. We will now take a brief recess to take questions from the press, followed by the administrative portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.